time for you to step up to the plate,
lace on your cleats,
and buckle up your chin strap. This is the Sports Fix at 6. Your chance to win today's prize from 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the final hour of Sports Talk as we come to you from Harper Volkswagen. You can check it out by shopthecars.com. The Family Car of the Year award-winning 2021 Volkswagen Atlantis is here at Harper Volkswagen, and it's got all the convenience, the storage, roomy interior, great technology, the ultimate car for the VFL, built right here in the state of Tennessee, built right here in Chattanooga. All right, it's time for the Sports Fix at 6, and we're going to be giving away a certified gift for complimentary oil and filter change and a tire rotation and a wash and vacuum service from Ted Russell Nissan. They make your buying experience enjoyable. A free oil and filter change, tire rotation, and wash and vacuum service if you can answer this trivia question. So in Josh Heupel's first 6 games at Tennessee as a head coach, 5 times Tennessee has scored at least 30 points. Only one other Tennessee head coach has managed to do that. Josh Heupel, in his first 6 games as Tennessee's head coach, the Vols have scored at least 30 points 5 times. Named the only other Tennessee head coach to accomplish that feat. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Matt. Matt, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hey, guys, I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question real quick, please?
Josh Heupel, in his first 6 games as head coach, has scored at least 30 points in 5 of those 6. Name the only other Tennessee coach to do that.
Philip Fulmer?
Yep, I thought that might be a one-and-done possibility. It is Philip Fulmer. That is correct. He's the only other Tennessee coach to do that, to score at least 30 points in 5 of his first 6 games. Hey, Matt, congratulations to you. You have won a complimentary oil and filter change and a tire rotation and a wash and vacuum service from Ted Russell Nissan. So good job. Congratulations to you. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you. Okay? All right, that'll do it for the Sports Fix at 6. Let's now hear from Tennessee linebacker Solon Page. Our Vince Ferrar was able to catch up with him, and you will hear the entire interview on the Vol Network pregame show. But Vince caught up with Solon Page, Tennessee linebacker, and here is that conversation.
It's been a big key to you guys really turning this thing around.
Really just taking it day by day, game by game. Coach really harps on, you know, going 1-0 every day, making sure that we keep attention to detail and make sure that we hold everybody accountable.
Boy, how much do you guys on defense feeding off of this offense really rolling right now?
Man, it's great having an offense that knows how to hold the ball, how to really manage the game, and that gives us time to really sit back after we get off the field and make corrections, see what went wrong in the last series. And when we get back on the field, we don't make the same mistakes that we did last time.
2 starts in the 6 games this year, tied for career high in tackles with 6 in that win over South Carolina, a tackle for loss as well. What's been the key for you to really make this jump and seize your opportunity for playing time?
I'll say film study. That's the biggest thing I can say is just film study. Constantly asking questions, realizing that there aren't any dumb questions. If there's a question, 9 times out of 10, another guy in the room has it. So just making sure that you ask questions, get a better understanding of not only what you're doing, the guy next to you, D-line is doing, knowing what the back end is doing as well. So just making sure you understand the defense as a whole.
This defense that's very different. A lot of the guys that talked about the simplicity of it compared to the past. How has that fit your skill set?
I like to run. So really, coach likes how we have a lot of linebackers, not only myself, but the rest of the room, guys who can run, who can go sideline to sideline. And that's really what the defense feeds off of, is as long as the linebackers are making plays, you know, the defense is going to be all right.
You guys have been rotating 4 guys, and one of those guys is Juwan Mitchell. And coach told us this week that he would be out for the year after that shoulder procedure. Talk about conversations with him.
I mean, it's a huge loss. A playmaker who's out for, you know, an extended period of time. It's hard, but, you know, the other guys got to step up.
Those other guys, Jeremy Banks, yourself,
definitely.
Aaron Beasley, talk about being in that group with you guys rotating, and there's other guys in that room as well.
We're all just making sure that we're all asking the same question, making sure that everybody's on the same page, because that's what it is as linebackers, you got to know what's your run gap, what's your pass key, and, you know, just for different stuff like that. So making sure that the guy next to you knows what he's doing, that communication between linebackers, D-line, and the safeties, corners as well, making sure that everybody communicating, everybody's on the same page, you know, that's huge.
What's the best compliment that any of these coaches have given you about either your game or you as a football player that's really resonated with you? You thought, man, that's cool, I'm proud of that.
Something that I've heard a lot is you're smart, you know what you're doing, you're consistent. But that's really what I strive to be, is just be a consistent guy. To coaches know what they're getting when I walk into the room, when I walk into the facility each day, just try to get better each day.
That position to replace Juwan, one of three guys, whether it's Aaron Willis or Pat Garland or William Mohan, what do you see in those three guys to try to take advantage of an opportunity they may get in that linebacker rotation?
Man, we're all competing. We're all trying to make sure that we're all on the same page. We all know what's going on. There's times where we'll come off the field and like, man, how did you do this? How do you see that? You know, just asking each other questions, trying to bounce off ideas. And if we can't reach it, then we go to the coach and like, hey, coach, how do you see this? How should we play that?
Describe Coach Jean-Marie.
He coaches hard. He expects a lot out of us, but we definitely try to show him that we're up for a challenge, go in the right direction. Every week, he tells us the defense as a whole is going to go as we go. If we're not making plays, the defense isn't making plays. So we got to make sure that as linebackers, as that anchor of the defense, how we see ourselves, we got to make sure that we're on our P's and Q's.
And those are comments from Tennessee linebacker Solon Page. Vince Ferrar's interview with him, you can hear it in its entirety at the Big Orange Countdown pregame show on the Vol Network. By the way, we wrote a blog that I want you to check out if you have a chance. It's about Lane Kiffin coming back to Knoxville as a head coach, not as a coordinator. Some of our keys to the game and some other comments about the situation. So if you want to check it out, you can go to 991dsportsanimal.com. I've got a blog there. Vince writes a blog there. You also have an opportunity to pick up on all the different audio that we have. We have every day there's something new that's up there. It may be a coach, it may be players, but something is there. And check that out, though, if you want to check out my blog for today about Tennessee versus Ole Miss. We're now joined by Eric Kane for a Tennessee football practice report. Eric, how are you?
Hey, Jimmy, doing well. After a week full of anticipation, officially just under 24 hours away until it's football time in Tennessee against Ole Miss and what should be a jam-packed Neyland Stadium. Tennessee, of course, is coming in hot, winning two of their winning their last two SEC games in dominant fashion. Ole Miss won in a shootout over Arkansas last week. Both teams are looking for another SEC win. This could be win number 5 for Tennessee and win number 3 in conference. Ole Miss looking for win number 3 in conference as well. Tennessee's hit the 2.5-point underdogs as of Friday, and it's going to show two of the most explosive offenses in the game. And so Lane Kiffin coming back to town, it's going to be checkered Neyland. Again, it's sold out Neyland Stadium, and I think a lot of eyeballs are going to be on this one come 7:30 tomorrow night. Should be a good game and should tell you a lot about Tennessee under Josh Heupel 7 games into his tenure.
And with these offenses, they really like to go at a fast pace, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. Again, it's 1-2 in the nation in terms of plays per minute. You got Ole Miss at number 1. And keep in mind, too, Tennessee slowed it way down in the second half against South Carolina last week. So without that second half, the Vols would still be at number 1. But Ole Miss comes in the contest 2.89 plays per minute. That's first in the country. Tennessee, 2.87 plays per minute. That is second in the country. Of course, Jeff Levy was the offensive coordinator for Josh Heupel for 2 years at UCF. He is in year 2 as being the offensive coordinator for Lane Kiffin over at Oxford. So a lot of similar principles in these offenses. And, again, the efficiency is just there. Both of these teams rank in the top 10 in the country in terms of scoring per game. Both of these teams have quarterbacks that rank in the top 6 in the country in QB efficiency. Both of these teams are running very, very well. Top 5 rushing team for Ole Miss, top 10 rushing team for Tennessee. But the name of the game is pace. And what we see with Josh Heupel is very much what we're going to see with Jeff Levy and Ole Miss tomorrow with Lane Kiffin. And that's something, too, with the defenses. You know, I think something that helps Tennessee early in ball games is jumping out in front, kind of shocking the defense a little bit. Well, I don't know if you're going to be shocking Ole Miss's defense, because Ole Miss sees that in practice every day, too, just like Tennessee does. So I think that's something important to remember as well.
And Tennessee also slowed it down against Missouri in that second half. That's another thing to point out. Hendon Hooker, he's played extremely well as a starter, averaging 275-plus total offense per game. He leads the SEC in pass efficiency. Eric, how important is it for Hooker to have a big game for Tennessee to have a chance to beat Ole Miss?
Yeah, not breaking any news here. He's going to have to be good, and he's been good this year. I think one of the more underrated storylines in this game, Jimmy, is, of course, we know about Matt Corral. He's firmly in position to try to go out and win a Heisman this year along with some other guys. We know about him cutting down on the turnovers compared to last year. But his counterpart, Hendon Hooker, we here in Knoxville and Tennessee fans know how good Hendon Hooker's been. But, I mean, he's been fantastic in terms of, you know, being up there in some of the lists in terms of the nation leaders in some statistical categories. So he's going to have to continue to protect the football. He's not turned the football over, you know, really since his first two games he played in. And one of those turnovers, the interception in the Pittsburgh game, I feel like that was just a great play. But he's also going to have to be heavily involved in the run game. Not for certain if Tyon Evans is going to be available for this game. Jabari Small has a sore shoulder. Jalen Wright has an injury as well. And so I mean, they're a little bit banged up in the backfield. So Hendon Hooker, his ability to be a major part of the run game is going to be critical for Tennessee. And he has been so far. So that will need to continue for the Volunteer offense to help out a little beat-up backfield. So Hendon Hooker, got to protect the football, got to make some plays in order for Tennessee to hang in this one and try to keep pace with what Ole Miss does on the other side of the football.
You mentioned Evans, but how important is he? Because I think there's a considerable drop-off between Evans and Whitehead or whoever, you know, even from maybe Small if he's banged up. So how important is Evans?
Oh, I mean, he's very important. I think a healthy, you know, 100% healthy Jabari Small compared to Evans, I still think there's a drop-off, but it's not that bad. I think Jabari Small's a good running back when he's healthy. He can do a little bit of everything as well, run between the tackles. He's good in space. You can throw him the football. He doesn't have that home run ability much like Evans does, but I think Jabari Small is a good back. But the problem is he's not been 100% this season. I mean, you know, he'll likely be out there tomorrow, but he won't be at 100%. So I think that is a factor, and Tennessee has run that trap play and ran so well with Tyon Evans the last couple of weeks, and the offense has flowed through the run game and allowed for things over the top to open up. So if you're seeing a heavy dose of Lenith Whitehead, if you're seeing a heavy dose of, I don't know, say 75% of Jabari Small, will that still be as effective as what you've seen in recent weeks? It won't be, but will it matter, Jimmy? Ole Miss's defense gives up almost 200 yards on the ground a game, so there's still going to be great opportunity there for Tennessee to run, regardless of who's back there, and Tennessee's just got to find a way to take advantage of that.
One more thing. What recruits are expected to attend the Tennessee-Ole Miss game?
Not only is this a big football game for Tennessee, it's a major recruiting game for the University of Tennessee. Five-star local standout Walter Nolan, he is going to be in attendance. Tennessee will have at least 10 of its committed class in attendance. A wide receiver, three-star Caleb Webb that Tennessee's trying to get after for the class of 22, he's going to be in attendance. You look at some 2023s that are set to be here, and you've got Deshaun Bishop, a local prospect who we saw on Rivalry Thursday last night. He'll be here. A couple other standouts like Aiden Green of Powell. You got Bryson Sanders of Chattanooga. One of the top quarterbacks in the country for the class of 2024, Jaden Davis. He's planning to be here, as well as Oak Ridge standout Brandon Hayward. So a big-time recruiting weekend, and there's plenty of more that I didn't even mention there. And just if these prospects can see not only the game day environment that's going to be at Neyland Stadium tomorrow with the crowd, the Checker Neyland and all that, but potentially a win, well, that would do a whole lot for this Tennessee football coaching staff. But that's all coming up tomorrow, and that's going to do it here for a Pulls by Heritage UT Football Practice Report. Beat the Spring Rush. Get your pool started now. Give them a call today. Call Pools by Heritage, proud sponsors of this practice report, at 947-7527.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thank you, Jimmy.
All right, and now let's hear more from Tennessee linebackers coach Brian Jean-Marie. He met with the media earlier this week. Here comments from Tennessee's first-year linebackers coach.
Coach, just with Juwan Mitchell being out now, what's kind of the plan going forward, and just what are your thoughts on him, and have you spoken with him just about how brutal it is?
Yes, to the last part. Yeah, we speak to each other every day. Obviously, it's a loss. What I stated earlier, he's been banged up basically since, you know, we started camp. So we tried to, you know, obviously rotate to keep them, some of the pounding off of them, but it kind of got to a point of no return. So we tried to, you know, kind of decide what was best for Juwan and went ahead and had the surgery. So obviously it's a loss. He was one of the more experienced players we had, but, you know, he was basically playing with one arm, trying to, you know, obviously do the best he could, you know, for the program. But at the end of the day, I think we were going to hurt, you know, the program, hurt ourselves on defense and possibly put him in a worse situation. So, you know, happy he got it done. Wish he was, you know, still a part. But, yeah, he's in good spirits and understands it's going to be a long road back. But, you know, I think he understands this is going to make him even better next year going forward.
Yeah, Coach, I'm just curious, what were your initial impressions of Aaron Beasley when you saw him in the spring in terms of how he fit, you know, your linebackers? And then what do you like that he's doing now? And has any of that been a surprise to you in terms of production?
No, I was familiar with Aaron from high school. I know he was played a lot of running back. He was an athletic kid coming out of high school. So I had, a little bit of knowledge of him. And, you know, when he was in spring, I thought he did a good job. You know, we actually asked him to move to a different position, which was, a little, different for him, I guess. I'm looking for the best word to say, because he was more of a Mike. I know he was a backup, and we asked him to play Will, actually, in the spring, because Jeremy Banks wasn't, available. So he kind of jumped into that. And then just through progression and because of the way the numbers worked out, we had to move him to Mike this fall. So he's a kid that, you know, I think his best football is still ahead of him. I tell you that because he's had to play basically all three linebacker spots for us. When we do play our base defense and we have our three linebackers on the field, he's also the Sam. So he's one of the guys that we count on as far as getting us lined up, and he's one of the few veteran guys, if we can even call him that, that has a little bit of game experience and really helps us keeps us on task and keeps us where we feel like we gives us a chance, best chance to win on defense.
What do you think he's doing the best right now?
Making tackles. I tell that story, I think in his own way, he does provide a little bit of leadership. He's not a big talker, but he's more of a common influence, you know, for our room and probably for the defense because of his personality. So I think that is the biggest factor. He doesn't get flustered and, you know, kind of doesn't get out of sorts when things aren't going well. And I think we need that at times. And like I said, he's made plays, when they presented themselves, and he's done a good job there. But I would say his number one, probably the thing that he's doing the best is keeping us calm and providing some leadership.
Coach Heupel spoke about, you know, Aaron Willis starting to travel with the team more on road games and that type of thing. Would he be the fourth backer at this point, or is that Garland? Who would it be?
It's still up in the air. As we did before Juwan, we're rotating, guys, and we want to make sure we put the guy in that's going to give us the best chance to win, whether that be Aaron Willis, whether that be Pat Garland or William Mohan. You know, all three of those guys are kind of all rotating, they're all practicing well. And, you know, if that situation did present itself, I should say, I feel like all three of those guys would give us an opportunity to win. But I don't think either one of them has separated themselves to be that fourth linebacker that we would put in definitely.
Coach, kind of following up on that, you talked early in the year about wanting to keep guys fresh and playing those four guys with the way Jeremy and Aaron and Sol are playing right now. Do you feel like you need to have a fourth guy, or do you guys feel good?
It's the SEC. In one play, you could go from three to two. So we always want to have, the goal is always to have five ready to play just because of the nature of injuries, especially with the collisions that you're going to have in this conference. And, we rotated three yesterday on Saturday, down from four. But we always want to have those guys prepared to play. The last thing you want to do is get caught where you might have one or two guys go down. I've been in games where we've had three guys go down in one game, and the opponent, they don't care. You know what I mean? They're going to go attack the weakness. So you want to make sure you have guys that are at least serviceable, that can go out there and run the defense and give you, the best chance to win.
It looks like Jeremy's been getting better week to week and even getting to the quarterback a little more often when he's been able to blitz. How have you seen him progress? And then with the personal fouls. He had a two-game stretch there where he was good, but then had one this past Saturday. What's that conversation been like with him?
The personal fouls, which we've talked about, it has to go away. You know, we basically, you know, stated if the personal fouls don't go away, we can't put them in the game. You know, those are going to be the difference in, you know, in games when we're in tighter games, and we just can't do that. Those 15-yard penalties, you know, lead to scoring drives and really take the momentum away from us. So we have to eliminate those. You know, besides that, I think he's been a little bit more under control, you know, as far as making tackles and, you know, breaking down and, you know, being in good balance. The one thing with Jeremy, he's going to play hard, but sometimes when he plays hard, he's a little out of control and kind of out of whack where he ends up on the ground a lot. And I think he's been better at that the last couple of weeks.
Comments from Tennessee linebackers coach Brian Jean-Marie. Now time for our injury report. Our injury report brought to you by Fitness Together Knoxville for private and private personalized training and nutrition. Visit Fitness Together in Knoxville. They have four area locations, Farragut, Bearden, Hardin Valley, and North Shore. Check them out on their website, fitnesstogetherknoxville.com. Okay, folks, this might take a while. Injuries for Tennessee. Running backs, Tyon Evans went down in the South Carolina game. Not sure if he's going to play versus Ole Miss. That'll be a game-time decision. Jabari Small's been out since he hurt his shoulder against Pitt. Jalen Wright's been out the last couple of games. I don't have any idea if any of those guys are playing. On the offensive line, Cooper Mays may return. We don't know for sure. Kingston Harris has been out. Dane Davis keeps going down on extra points. Jackson Lampley, the same thing. We'll see if they're available. On the defensive line, Latrell Bumpus has missed recent games. Elijah Simmons came out of the South Carolina game. Didn't play against South Carolina. And in the secondary, Theo Jackson, who did not play against South Carolina, supposedly he's been practicing. He may be back. Denico Slaughter didn't play against South Carolina. Christian Charles didn't either. And at linebacker, Juwan Mitchell, the transfer from Texas who led the Longhorns in tackles a year ago. Well, he's out for the year. He had surgery, so he is done. So that is 13 players. I don't know how many of them are playing, don't know who's not. Tennessee does a pretty good job of keeping those injuries under wraps. We didn't know Theo Jackson wasn't playing last week against South Carolina until about 30 minutes before the game. But anyway, that's a list of the injuries. We'll just have to find out who is going to play on game day. That is our long injury report. That is brought to you by Fitness Together in Knoxville for your private personalized training and nutrition. Check them out. The website, fitnesstogetherknoxville.com. Let's hear more from Lane Kiffin. He was on the SEC teleconference earlier this week. And one of the things that he was asked, would you have left Tennessee, or was it a mistake to leave Tennessee, considering the NCAA mess you inherited at Southern Cal?
Bruce, I don't think of it that way because we didn't know what was going to happen. So we went there and being told by the powers there that, you know, there's Reggie Bush situation, there was nothing to it. So the worst case scenario, you know, slap on wrist, you know, and then all of a sudden we go there, put a staff together, start recruiting, and we get 32-year bowl ban, or 30 scholarships, which is well known. But think about, you go in your first year, all your juniors and seniors can transfer with no penalty, and they can just leave. They can go take visits, they can do whatever. And they're not going to be able to play in a bowl game for 2 years, so it's hard to keep them. You would think very hard to recruit when kids can't go play in bowl games. And we signed the number one class in the country, you know, loading up before the numbers, you know, took their hit. So there was no way to know that, Bruce. So I don't sit there and say we should have stayed because we didn't know that. I'm like to live in the positive and say had those numbers not happened, it would have been a totally different story of results on the field. I know that.
Was there a time at one point where it kind of sunk in where it's like, man, we're really got a more uphill climb than I thought?
Yeah. Results come back and they say 2 year bowl ban, 30 scholarships reduction, and all your juniors and seniors can leave. You know, basically like what they wrote that day, basically everything but the death penalty. And I remember everyone saying, including the LA Times, get ready for half-empty stadiums, get ready for 3-4 win seasons, just like what had happened, you know, at Miami when this had happened. And then we went 10-2, and everybody forgot about that, that's what's supposed to happen.
Also from Lane Kiffin, he was asked, is it harder than ever to have depth at the quarterback position?
Yeah, for sure. I mentioned that this week, you know, the value of the quarterback and Ohio State's great year, you know, and how valuable that was to have depth like that, which I don't think happens anymore because everybody leaves, you know, as soon as they're not the guy. Very challenging.
How do coaches, or how do you try to handle that? I mean, it feels like it's probably more delicate than ever to have those relationships or get backup reps in practice. I don't know if you can do that too much in season, but like, how do you make sure guys don't leave the second they lose the quarterback job?
I don't know. I mean, that's difficult, and every situation's different. And sometimes we tell the guys, yeah, it's, we get it. You know, it's probably in your best interest. We understand. You know, you got to protect yourself. So it's just every situation is different.
Coach, you mentioned Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Arkansas. Obviously, Jeff Lebby with you, Josh Heupel at Tennessee, and Kendall Briles there at Arkansas with OC. You had Kendall at FAU. When you took over FAU and now Ole Miss and still running the same type scheme, and as well as Josh is now at Tennessee and UCF, and back when he was at Missouri, how much did you study maybe the Baylor type offense before you took that FAU job to really implement this offense?
I'd studied. I'd seen what it done. I saw very close watching the Washington-Baylor bowl game, you know, that was in the 60s, 70s, 60 or something like that, and just was kind of enamored with it for a while and had started to study some of it and use some of it at Alabama and just said, all right, if I get a head job again, this is what I want to do. You know, like I just kind of referred to on those stats, like dealing in facts, it really is amazing the output of what this system, and credit to Art Briles, you know, because all three of those teams we just talked about, three of the top rushing teams in the country, and then you look at the SEC where some teams, probably a lot of people listening to this would say are great rushing teams, and they're really not. So I give a ton of credit to Art Briles.
Comments from Lane Kiffin. Now, finally, from Kiffin, he talks about that awkward press conference when he took the Southern Cal job, wanted to explain to the media why he was leaving. Here's Lane Kiffin on that UT press conference back in January 2010.
Well, I don't know that I've ever told the story of that. Chris Lowe sent me the video of it this week, which I don't know I'd ever seen the actual video of everyone talking in there, you know, why I wasn't in the room, but that was my idea only. I was advised against that, you know, from Jimmy Sexton to a lot of people. Like, you know, I said, get out of town, get on the plane and show up at USC and then, you know, speak there. And I, you know, I said, I just didn't feel like that was right. Like, I really felt like the media had been awesome, not just fair, but awesome in our 1 year there, really had grown to like them a lot and felt like they should get an explanation. Now, I couldn't do that with the cameras and everything, because then that would be like, okay, well, you're basically starting your press conference at USC in Tennessee. That's not right. But I wanted to explain to them, hey, why this was the one job, you know, that I would take. This is why, you know, it's not great timing at all. Had no plans of leaving here. Really was excited about what was building, much like I had the team meeting, which also was advised against not to do at all. But I wanted to tell the players in, you know, that doesn't normally happen at all, you know, in those situations. So I think both of them backfired, but I don't, you know, that's not the point. You do things in life because they're the right things to do, whether they work or not. And in my opinion, those were the right things to do against what people were saying.
Comments from Lane Kiffin, head coach at Ole Miss, former head coach at Tennessee. His first appearance back in Neyland Stadium as a head coach, twice he came here as offensive coordinator at Alabama. Let's hear more from Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel. He met with the media on Thursday. Here are his comments.
Week's going well. You know, excited about this one. Everybody understands the environment. We're going to have a chance to play in on Saturday night, and really good football team. But preparation's been good. Excited for this one. Ready to go play.
Josh, how do you balance what you've seen from Ole Miss defensively? They started out the year looking definitely improved defensively. Last 2 weeks, you went up a ton of points. How do you evaluate those two touchdowns?
Every week's different. play the same team 10 times over on the same day. It's going to unfold differently. They got good players. They play extremely hard. It's the next step for us as an offense, and I say that meaning the next challenge. And for us, a lot of it is about us and growing and continuing to mature in our preparation, but then be able to adjust to what we see on game day. Each game has its own identity. We'll find out, during the course of play what that identity is in this game.
Hey, Coach, just with, the sellout crowd, a lot of fans really hype about this game, how well the team's been playing. How big of a game do you feel this is for developing that new kind of culture here at Tennessee?
It's the biggest game, up until this point, because it's the only one we get to play this week. The environment, what our kids have done on the field, the work that they've put in, it's awesome that our fan base has recognized that, excited about what the players are doing inside of our program. They built this opportunity. It's about our preparation and being ready to go play. Can't wait to see Vol walk, see the stadium checkerboarded out. It's, after the ball game last week when we started talking about this one, talked about, it needs to be a home field advantage, and obviously Saturday night should be that way. Can't wait to experience it with our crowd. Looking forward to it.
Coach, I was going
to
ask you about some young guys. Julian Nixon, Trinity Bell, Kamen Marley. Kind of where do you have those guys working in practice, and kind of what do you envision out of those three, going forward?
Yeah, Trinity is really still coming off of an injury they sustained in high school, continuing to rehab, reshape his body as he goes through that process, doing some really good things with our strength and conditioning staff. The other guys are working on practice squads and continuing to grow. Physically, they're continuing to develop. Every opportunity we get a chance to get those guys work, we do. But they continue to invest and grow inside of our program.
Where do you have – where's Kamen? Where do you envision him playing?
Yeah, I think Kamen's a guy that's going to continue to – his position group's going to continue to unfold as his career unfolds here.
Josh, you talked about – kind of every game being its own kind of game. And how much time, if any, during the week do you spend kind of in your mind thinking, okay, if this happens, here's my answer. If that happens, here's my answer in terms of how you respond, in the flow of a game in terms of attacking or what the situation might be?
Yeah, situational football, it really unfolds, during the course of the game. You try to put yourself in unique situations. We try to do that on a day like today. And the last 5-10 minutes is spent as an entire team just going through situational football, substitution patterns, unique scenarios that come up, in particular, in the middle of the football field with special teams. And you got to have multiple units that are ready to go play. You try to prepare your kids and make sure that they're ready for those situations, your coaching staff too. But fourth down calls, based on the flow of the game and where you're at, personnel, all those things, they kind of unfold during the course of the game.
Josh, last year Matt Corral was a little turnover prone, particularly in one game, and then this year he hasn't thrown an interception yet. Don't know how far you've gone back in terms of watching his tape, but what have you seen difference-wise from him, interceptions last year to this year?
Year one to year two as a quarterback in the system, continuing to grow as a decision maker. That's in part him, but it's also the guys that are around him too. And they've continued to evolve and grow as an offensive unit. He's a great playmaker. He does a good job of taking care of the football. We got to apply pressure to him. You also got to bottle him up inside the pocket. You let him get loose. He'll hurt you with his feet, but he hurts you with your arm first or his arm first. So we got to do a great job of matching people for in zone coverage once he does break contain. But we got to make it an uncomfortable night for him inside the pocket.
Josh, with Tyon, I think he's fourth in the SEC in rushing. Did you see that he could be as productive as he's been, as explosive as he's been with some of the big plays he's had?
Absolutely. His growth inside of what we're doing offensively and understanding of what we're doing, the physical attributes were all there. He's really grown physically. Just I'm talking about from when I got here in late January or early February to continuing to develop his body the way that you need to come from a junior college. He's got a high ceiling. Need him to be really productive.
Going into Corral's scramble ability, what have you talked to the defensive line about this week just in containing him and how to stop that?
Yeah, you still have to rush him. If you don't, he's going to sit back there all day long. But you got to maintain some rush integrity. And when we've done that, we've made it extremely difficult to get out of the pocket. When we haven't done that and understand the defensive call, where the other bodies are at, and what I need to do as a D lineman or a linebacker or a secondary player in the pressure, then we've given quarterbacks the opportunity to get out and extend and make plays. Can't do that on Saturday night.
With the emergence of Brandon Turnage, Slaughter, Ollie Lane, you know, how confident you guys are, comfortable are you playing more in terms of depth of this football team right now?
Yeah, certainly more than we were probably week one. Every week you find more out about your identity as far as, you know, the individuals on your football team and their ability to handle and play during the course of play. They're also going to grow through that process too, and we've seen a lot of guys do that.
Josh, how's Tyon doing? You think he'll be able to play on Saturday, or is that still up in the air?
Yeah, no, we early in the week didn't know what his availability would be. As the week's gone on, he's been able to get more work. Ultimately, you know, we make those decisions on Friday.
Comments from Josh Heupel, and that Tyon Evans thing to me is a huge concern. As I mentioned earlier, I'm not 100% he'll play, but I don't think Evans will be 100% if he does play. And I think that is a huge concern for Tennessee. I don't know if Jabari Small is going to be out there, but while there's not a great drop-off from Evans to Small, there is a great drop-off from Evans to any other back on that team. And without him, boy, I think it'll be difficult for Tennessee to be able to beat Ole Miss and to score enough points to keep up with the Rebels. All right, we've got a lot of high school football coming your way tonight. FM 99.1, we got Pope John Paul II at Catholic. Should be a great game. 9:90 a.m. is Cleveland at Bearden, 98.7. Maryville at Hardin Valley. So that's coming your way tonight. And we want to thank the folks at Harper Volkswagen for having us here. They got the Volkswagen Atlas, one of the big sellers that they have here. And they have got a wonderful selection of vehicles for you. So you need to check that out. And again, check out our high school football tonight. Got a big game tomorrow with Tennessee and Ole Miss. We'll have game day all day. You want to listen for that. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.